Hi, this is Yoink, and I give you the right to rock.
The right to rock.
Special night for you, an evening with a featured artist. So we want to give you the most of what Genghis and I can do with an artist. We want to give you everything we can do with an artist. So that's a killer masterpiece theater music.
That's very good.
I feel like I'm classical or something like this. I don't know.
It makes me want to speak in a very elevated tone. I want to say a shout out to all of our viewers and listeners.
I feel English. English and
starting
Russian at the same time. I don't know.
Starting to feel very British as I sip upon my ale.
We should toast to our guest and bid you adieu because we have a great interview.
That's right.
That's almost poetic.
I thank you all for joining us. Please listen to our interview and enjoy.
And we will talk to you next time.
Cheers.
See ya.
Horns up!
Horns up!
Hi, this is Yorin. You're listening to the Genghis Ragman Show. Horns up!
I was born to be a storytelling man. I spread the word across the land. A voice of hope, a chant for peace. That's my way, that's my release. Rainbow Shaker on a unicorn ride. Spread my dreams across the sky. No more howling winds of war. Give me power, hear my roar. Yeah, yeah. I'm calling all stations. Earth is ringing the bell. I'm too. There's a warning to tell. Feel the mountains tremble. See the floods of despair. Stormy sea. Only you and me can make the world see.
Guys, we're on live with Ragman, Mono e Mono, with one of his favorite vocalists in the world, Mr. Yorin Land. Give it up, people. Oh, Yorin, what's up?
Thank you for the compliment, man. Yeah, I'm fine. It's finally summer over here in across the pond. It's great, yeah.
What's the temperature like there this time of year? I mean, we're in Texas, so we're about to start hitting Celsius 35, 40 degrees.
No, I think we're about 25 ish now. Some days 27, 28, close to 30.
We'll trade you.
Yeah. How much is that in Fahrenheit? It's like around 80 degrees or 80, 85 or something? Or how much is that?
Yeah, We get in the hundreds here.
Wow. That's just very warm. Fucking
hell. Not a lot of fun, man.
Yeah. Well, I like the, you know, I like the warm climate, you know, but you know, when you're used to the four seasons like we are, and something with the freshness, you know, of the air, and yeah, you have a hard time when it gets too hot. You know, we go to South America on, you know, to tour in the summer. It's really, you know, unbearable. So.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Well, before we jump into the new record, you got your new record coming out, Life on Death Row. Great new record, by the way.
Yeah. But, well, thanks.
Last time we talked to you, and it was kind of interesting. I looked back on my log, and it's almost a year to the day. Give about 10, 11 days, we were talking about Heavy Rock Radio. And at that point, you know, you had just done the record, and you said, hey, I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to do some Advantasia stuff. And then I'm going to look at doing a new record. How was Heavy Rock Radio received? Myself, I loved it. We talked about that. It's just
a
great soundtrack to summer. I mean, you could put it on outside, barbecue. Everybody's happy because it was such a great variety. I loved how you touched on some of the alternative stuff as well as some of the classic rock stuff and then some of the metal. I mean, it was just one of my favorite cover records I've ever heard. And it didn't hurt my favorite vocalist was doing it. So,
how
was it received, man?
Thanks. It was well received in Europe. Went Billboard Top 100 in US. So it did pretty well. It charted in some countries, and it sold pretty well, the record, and it was well received. I think people were surprised about, you know, the Kate Bush song and this Frida song that was produced by Phil Collins. I think in general people were a bit surprised about that record. And I think, you know, some of those songs came out really great and some spectacular arrangements, I think, for some of those. Not too complicated, but we kind of ended up with a certain, I would say, a recipe for some of the songs that really work well, you know. We never really, nothing was calculated or planned in the way. We just sat down with every song and, you know, tried to find the best solution for every song. And in that sense, it was a bit of an experiment. So, it came out well. I mean, some songs are more interesting than other songs on the record, because some of them we did more true to the original version, but, you know, with a more modern sound and slightly different or more a bit heavier expression, maybe, you know. And some of these tracks really came out outstanding, I think. And the interesting thing is that, you know, many of the radio rock stations started to play the songs instantly, which I wasn't really too sure about, because some of these songs are like messing with the religion. You know, it's like if you do like the Kate Bush song, or you do Hotel California, or, you know, songs like that. Even the Foreigner song, Rebel the Red Line, you guys, it's so well done before, originally, that even though you did it well and you made it a bit, you know, new somehow, fresh, originals are so strong that you automatically think that all these rock stations they will play the original versions. But, you know, in this case, you know, You're the Voice, this is a song released by John Farnham. It's played frequently, around the world, and they seem to be popular as well, so yeah, it's a good thing. And then I'm actually thinking about doing it again.
Oh, nice. I was going to comment, you're the voice, that was awesome, dude. Awesome.
Thanks, man. Well, it was a good attempt, that record, I think. Result came out well. It's just all these old songs I grew up with, you know, that made my hairs rise, you know, in the back of my neck, you know, when I was a kid, you know, or young man. So all these old 70s, early 80s songs that got me into the business in the first place. You know, so many of those that I would love to do your style, and so we'll see. I love some of the Santana stuff from back in the day with what's his name, Alex Leafwood or something. I love that singer that Carlos used to work with back in the day. We always had great singers anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But all these bands, Manfred Mann's Earth Band with Chris Thompson, at the helmet, it was some great stuff there. There's so much to choose from. They're not necessarily rock and metal songs.
Oh yeah, and once you, as you say, journalize them, or you put the Dorn stamp on them, it's really cool how you bring them to life.
Got to journalize it.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the new record, and let's talk about how it came together. You pretty much have a brand new band, and it's the Voodoo Circle. Everybody that was in Voodoo Circle is now playing with you, at least on the new record. How did you hook up with the guys at Voodoo Circle?
I know Matt Sinner. I've known him for a long time. He's also been with Primal Fear, for a long time. We've met throughout the years. We had a few beers together at festivals. I always, respected the playing, and I always thought that these guys were really, something special. But we never got to play together. We were all busy doing our own thing. Eventually, time was right for it, and we were all connected to the same record company. So this was, after talking to my record company, and also Alessandro Del Vecchio, who produced the album with me. He suggested this together with my record company. Then everything, all the pieces of the puzzle fell in place, basically. But it took some time to do the record, almost 3 years before we finished it. It didn't work all the time, but we were busy doing various other things. Like you mentioned, Heavy Rock Radio, I had to do that one, and before that I was working on this Dracula concept record. So there's a lot of work to do. Also working with this company Riot Games in LA, and this online game League of Legends. There's a virtual band within the game called Pentakill, which I've been a part of, and we're working on that. an album coming out with some new metal. Very exciting, a new arena that online gaming industry. So it's very cool. Yeah. So this record was basically a bit on and off. Finally it's done. It's a long pregnancy.
I tell you what, it sounds amazing. Let me ask you, when you were writing, because like I said last time we talked, you said you were taking it easy, but it doesn't sound like you did that at all. It sounded like really busy, man.
I'm busy, but it depends on how you see it. If you look at people, going to work every morning and coming home at 5 or 6 or even later, if you look at that type of everyday job, then my job is not that hard, really. I have some quality time in between all the albums, and I can also somehow be my own boss. I can work hard for a couple of weeks, and I can get some time off in between a few days. And it's a lot of work, but as long as you can control your own work pace a bit more, then it's not too bad, really. And it's easy to be productive when you love what you do, and when you get to do something that most people consider a hobby. So I'm just grateful for that and happy, and it's no big deal, really, to spit out some records and get all the work done.
Well, as far as the writing went for this record, you said it was like a 3-year work in progress. Were you writing with Alex and Matt, the guys, or were you kind of writing off on your own? You brought in the ideas and kind of let them throw their ideas in?
Well, before I used to mostly come up with a melody and a lyrical idea, and I would create a musical structure around that idea, which was easier for me, basically, because I could use everything I had, I could be spontaneous and create something, and everyone else had to adapt to my ideas. So in a sense, I was a bit spoiled with that. And this time it was a bit different. Alex did this one song called Fire to the Sun, which he wrote the riffs and the basic structures for, and it had no melody, a vocal melody, no lyrics, but he sent me a rough demo of the idea, and I liked it a lot, and then I started working on the song, creating the vocal melody and lyric for that one. The same with some of the other tracks, some stuff that Alessandro did, recorded with a drum machine, but simple rough demos, and of course I was a bit selective with what I worked on, so I think I might have been a pain in the ass maybe a few times, because some of the ideas I scrapped because I just couldn't get any or didn't feel inspired, but eventually we had all the songs there, and I had some good ideas for those, and so it was a challenge to me, because maybe that's how many people work today, but I'm not used to working like that. Maybe on one song or two on a record, I've been working like that before, so it's been achievable, but to finish things, but this time it was really difficult, because I wanted it to be really good, and even though I heard a melody in my mind, that melody was often just something I've heard before, or something that was too common somehow, or I just felt it wasn't right. So the challenge was to find that personal yawn thing, which I've done before, you know, something that I just felt was more spontaneous and pure somehow. And eventually I did it, but it took some more energy and time. That's also one of the reasons why the record was postponed a bit, you know, not just because of all the other projects, but because when I eventually sat down to actually work on the songs, you know, I just couldn't nail it, you know, at once, you know. Mm-hmm. I normally would be free to do whatever I wanted, you know, if I could extend a verse or a sentence, and everybody else would have to build the arrangements around, you know, what I've done. This time I had to stick to a certain structure and something that was kind of within the frame. So that was new to me in a way, and I wanted it to be really good, so I took the extra time and effort to make sure it, you know, something I could be proud of and happy with. So.
Well, you should be happy. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah.
How would you say it differed? Because it's been 4 years since The Traveler came out. Sound wise, how would you say Life on Death Road differs from The Traveler?
I think the band sounds much more like a band now, even though Traveler also sounds great. It has some great musicians on it. I just think that we captured something more defined with this record. It's more something pure with the sound, and it's a very honest rock album. It's also lyrically some of the purest lyrics I've ever written. It's very very much to the point, and it's something that I think most people can identify with. It's players that come from the same background. We have the same preferences in music. Kind of you know, 70s thing, you know, with the bands that we grew up with. We're close to the same age. We all wanted to experience that classic rock album feel that we had when we grew up, and I think that's what we have with this record. We managed to capture a certain vibe and a certain energy. Created the sound which I think is quite unique today, and not many people do it anymore. Still, we added something fresh and something new to the songs. You know, it's original songs, but it's at the same time almost like a resume of the last 30, 40 years in rock, you know, and metal. So, it's a bit of like a, it's not an original album, but there's something, still something hybrid to it.
Oh yeah,
which is, you know, cool. We're all children of our time, you know. All the bands we grew up with, same thing, you know. People tend to say that some of these older bands were the original bands that started something. Of course, you know, you could say that when electric guitars were invented, you know, there were a certain group of people that were the first ones to experiment with that and create those tones. But I think, you know, everyone has their preferences, you know, and if you ask someone, you know, one of the guys from the Zeppelin, Purple or Black Sabbath, you know, they all have their heroes. You know, it just wasn't so visible back in the day. You know, like today, everyone knows everything. You know, it's one click away. I think that's the difference. And I think the same with us. You know, we are strongly influenced by some of these great bands, artists of the 60s and 70s. So we're all product of our era, sort of. At the same time, you know, we brought our own expression into it later on, when we got older, and we kind of, you know, it's still honest, but we still brought the best expression from where we identified, you know, we're kids, you know, what made the hairs rise, you know, like yeah. I said before, it's, that's what we try to maintain, you know, to get, have a spirit that, that's the same like when we were kids. And the great thing with this record is that it's not often that I play an album in the car that I've just done, or at home just after the album is finished. But with this record, I just, you know, UPS delivered a package a few days ago, and for the first time in years, I've been playing the car, and I'm playing the songs in the car and at home. That's rare, and I'm usually tired of the whole production, and I need a break, you know, for a few months before I actually sit down listening to what we did. So, but not this time, because this is something, it's a synergy to this record. It's a unit, strong unit that really gave their best efforts to make a great, know, potential classic rock album, and I'm really proud of it. So, you know. And that's rare, you know. I'm 50 next year, so you know. The point is, when you did a lot of albums, you know, it's harder to experience that feeling, you know, in the business. Also, compromising with things, you know, trying new combinations, working. Constellations, you know, projects, music. It's almost, you know, it's weird, you know, because you tend to forget where you came from. It's not until you listen to an album like Life on Death Row that you really realize how important the right people together is, or are, you know, how important is to have the right lineup. I think we've forgotten about that today, because everyone works with everyone. Everyone's you know, putting together various projects, and it's like black metal scene together with rock metal scene, together with AOR, together with German power metal. You know, of course, it's interesting that we develop and we try new ways, and you know, you see some interesting combos, you know, out there. But you realize that people coming from the same, you know, world can really make something really strong. It's a strong energy, and then, you know, some magic happens. And that's what I, you know, experience with this record.
Well, I got to tell you, Jorn, I got to say, and I've been a fan for a lot of years, and I got all your stuff, and I got to say, this is the best record. I mean, I love your stuff, but man, this is just such a solid record coming out the gate. Like you said, it almost has that classic feel. So I definitely think this one's going to go down as a classic in your catalog for sure.
Thanks.
I love how you start the record, too, with the title track, Life on Death Road, which is a the intro video. Can you tell me how that song came together and the concept behind the video?
well, the video was basically very simple. The video was between the, with the, you know, the lyrics and the whole, I mean, it's just a driving rock song. It has that certain energy that flies, you know. It's like it flies when you crack it up, you know, crack it up. It's kind of, it has that forward driving energy. And I just thought it would be cool, you know, it's not cool with that video, you know, the road, symbolism, simplicity, you know, just us guys, you know, in the road, singing, playing, you know, the car there, you know, challenges we face in life, how fragile life can be. I think that lyric kind of is kind of like a resume on the whole record in a way. It's like if you took one song that would represent the whole record, that opening track pretty much explains what this record is all about. And the video is just, you know, it's nothing too deep. That video, it's just trying to link this simple message about life from birth to grave, and you know, what we experience on our way. This journey, which is, you know, so great but yet so fragile and unpredictable. And then, you know, there's a lot of hope in there that you have to keep a certain spirit and fire and, you know, and hope and just keep going. It's also the message in the song, and not be afraid of things. You have to just go for it, follow what you believe in, and yeah. It's a lot of complex messages in a way, you know, throughout the song, but still it's a very present, down-to-earth lyric, reflects on who we are, where we come from, and also what goes on in the world today. So it's an imprint of where we are as musicians, where we are in the world today, what happens. Thoughts about the past, and present, and future. Yeah.
Well, I definitely think it's going to kill live, man. I really do. I think that one's going to go over well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a great live track for sure. And I remember I had different ideas for the chorus for that song, you know. I had a very melodic structure which I worked on, and similar lyrics though, but slightly different. And and then I just felt that this is just—it's just too melodic, and it's just you know, it worked, but it was just, you know, it just took the song out of that rock recipe and just gave it something more. Melodic, and I thought that was not right for the song. And then I suddenly, you know, a few days later, I just woke up in the morning and I just played the track, and I suddenly came up with that you know, that new approach, which was why, you know, ended up with the title Life on Death Road and the structure that's there today. So yeah, it was, I just, you know, sometimes you tend to think too complicated. Sometimes you really want to create something clever, or, you know, you want to make something special, and you end up with something that's just, you know, too complicated, too experimental, or it's just too safe, you know, somehow. And I don't know. It's just you know, to find that simplicity is very, very essential to me, and that can be difficult sometimes. Most of the time, if you don't have a spontaneous idea right away when you hear you know, a guitar riff or a piece of music, then you're most likely going to struggle to find something that works. It has to trigger something right away. And so I just ended up, you know, going back to the first basic idea, which was much more simple and rocking. That's what's on the record now. You
know? Oh, nice. You know, another one, and it just happens to be the second track, is Hammer to the Cross. That would be that mid. I love when you do the mid tempo, real heavy stuff. And that one's just got that big anthemic feel to it, where I could just see the crowd going nuts at that one too.
I love that song. It's also one of my favorite. It's a good one. Hammer to the Cross. It's lyrically, it's, you know what it says. It's centered around how we are compromising all the time in everything we do, and I think the world compromises more than ever today. You know, regardless of who you are, you know, the level of political correctness has come to a point where it's, you know, a bit over the top, you know. So and I think the point statement with that song is to say that that I'm kind of, or we are kind of doing something that's kind of against the odds in a way, you know, playing this type of music and bleeding a bit for the music, you know, trying to hang in there basically, and it's many parallels, and you know, in that song. So it's for everything, you know, from relationships and marriages that went wrong, you know, and then the one that lost, you know, is a kind of hammer to the cross, and then, you know, it's how we are under the eye, you know, of capitalism, and how we are forced to compromise in everything we do. Then again, you know, in the end, you get to the point where Jesus is, you know, and religion is coming into the song, you know, and which again was about the business, you know. So it's kind of So you know, that's why it has a alternative title, which is the business.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that next. But yeah, that's interesting, man. Thanks for the insight on that. That's cool, man.
Yeah, so, you know, just to draw a parallel to everything, basically, you know, to us and who we are as a band, and, you know, how we are, you know, trying to hang in there, playing the rock and, you know, all that. And then it's also this thing, like I said, everything else in life that we experience, you know, crucified in many ways. You know, if you try to run your own company and everyone says that, you know, this is something that no one can make a living from, why do you still do it? You know, of course, that's, you know, it's a challenge. And sometimes when you get your back tax, you know, you still feel, you know, you ask yourself, you know, is it worth it? You know, and you sometimes feel crucified in that sense, but you're hammered to the cross, you know. But, it's a lot of symbolism in that song, and but it's very honest again, you know, the lyric, you know, it's all based on view on life and experience, what we've experienced ourselves and stuff. So.
Well, the last song I want to bring up, The Slippery Slope. Can you?
Yeah.
That's another just really good up-tempo, melodic, heavy song.
Yeah.
Can you give us a cool story on how that song came together?
Sandro sent me some stuff and some ideas for a song, and again, they had no melodies or anything, just some music with drum machine. And, yeah, so the song was created based on that. Yeah, you know, when I write stuff on it, it's or I wrote stuff on it, it's the same. I never plan anything really. Again, same as always, I reflect and I just write it down, and the same like with all the other songs, when I feel inspired, I instantly hear something in my mind and I write it down. Sometimes it makes sense right away, other times it partly makes sense, you know, in sections, and then I look at what I did, you know, a couple of days later or so, and listen again, and then usually I end up with that first idea, and then I continue working on the song, and then it slowly comes together. I never sit for like hours with the song to write. I sit down for maybe half an hour or so. It's rarely up to an hour, but you know, usually less. And then I, you know, see what I can come up with when I'm inspired or rested or whatever. You know. Sometimes also, not just in the morning, sometimes before I go to bed. Sometimes I can even wake up sleeping, just having this idea in my mind. It's because I've been brainstorming a lot, you know, on something for a while, and you end up, you know, it's crossing over to craziness sometimes because you end up dreaming about it at night. And you wake up 5 in the morning or something, and you just, you're tired, but you just have to get up and write, you know, a few things down. And yeah, that's what I do. And
Hey, Yorn, are you one of those guys that's got like the pen and paper next to the bed? So as soon, if it hits you in your sleep, you just start scribbling down stuff the best you can?
Well, I wouldn't say I have it near the bed, but you know, I scribble things down everywhere. Anyway, you know, my wife finds things everywhere, and sometimes she throws away things, and I'm totally stressed. Where did you put that newspaper? Where did you put that, you know, that bill? You know, but that bill was paid a long time ago. We don't need it. I threw it away. Oh my God, you know, you know, and there's some words on it or there's something on it. You know, that happens often.
But you know what? I don't know if you know Johnny Gioli with Hardline, but and he sings with Axel Rudy Pell. He told me his favorite writing place is in the restroom.
Yeah. Well, it sometimes happens, you know. You grind, you know, when you're on the frame. You tend to grind, you know. It's some quality time to yourself, yeah. So yeah, no, I sometimes, you know, maybe thinking of ideas, but I mean everywhere basically.
That's cool.
But I'm a bit on and off with that, because you know, if you think about music all the time, you know, you go crazy about it, and you're not able to come up with anything. You're only going to be stuck, so you need to just let it go and do something else in life, you know, normal everyday things, and then go back again, you know, a day or three later, and then pick up on where you left, you know, with the fresh spirit. So yeah, that's how I do it. And but when I was young or younger, then, you know, maybe I was like 20, 25, I would put more pressure on myself all the time. I would, you know, get up and I would sit all day. I would write and push myself and just have a short break, you know, almost to the point where you felt, you know, ill, or you know, yeah. Sometimes you just feel like, oh my God, I gotta take a break.
Yeah.
You know, you started getting pressure in your chest, which is dangerous. You know, you didn't eat, you drank too much coffee, you know, all that stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, I think this is something that people can relate to, people in the business, that you know, many people did the same, you know. Eventually, as you get a bit older, you have to find some kind of structure, routine, you know, to what you do, and you need to turn on and off more, and yeah, and the result is not worse, you know, or it's even better sometimes, because then you can go back on things with a fresh point of view, objective, more objective point of view. before, you know, you wanted to finish in time and you wanted to push yourself to finish in a shorter period of time with everything, whole record finished from beginning to end, and you know that took its toll, you know. It drained some energy, and you can't do that through your whole life, you know. Also, of course, you know, there were some substances there, you know, drinking a bit more, you know, and there were some other things going on for a while in life, which is typical for the rock business. But then you grow up and you realize that you have to stay in the business for a long time, and then you find a better way of doing things, you know. So, yeah, important today to me is, you know, to stay healthy and yeah, enjoy life and at the same time get things done. So enjoy more.
Well, there you go, man. Well, yeah. Before we let you go, as far as touring goes, are you going to be touring with these guys? Or since I know Matt's got Center, he's got Primal Fear, I think they got a brand new record coming, or I guess it's a live record they got coming out, but. Is everybody committed to do a tour? Are you going to have to get some of the guys to tour with? And then, what are your tour plans?
I think we all want to tour this record at some point. You know, it was a bit late. The release was supposed to be a bit earlier this year, and you know, everything got a bit, you know, postponed and stuff. So we decided not to tour just, you know, after the record was out. So and also festival season started. So, you know, some of the other guys had some other plans, there were a few shows scheduled for this year or some festivals, but they were cancelled, unfortunately. But you know, sometimes that happens. I had to, you know, we had to take them out. You know. We decided the best thing now was to just, you know, get the record out and. Let the record, be out and have a life of its own for a while, and then we'll see. Maybe October, November could be a good time to tour. February, March next year, we've been discussing. So there are many plans, you know, in the air right now. We'll see. I mean, we all want to play this record. It's just that we have to find the right time to do it and. By circumstances, so I really hope so, because this is a really great band, and I think I speak for all of us when I say that this is something that we all wanted to do, and that's also one of the main reasons why we joined forces for this album, to do something that we, you know, we wanted to do for a very long time. So you know, something true.
So I guess it's too early to ask whether or not you think you'll make it to North America. If you don't make it to North America, with the strength of this record, especially if it does well, do you think you guys might look at doing like a live DVD or something?
We've already been asked by the record company, you know, if you want a DVD, so probably that's gonna happen, and that's definitely gonna be recorded if we do a tour next year or later this year. So one of the shows will be, or two of the shows will be recorded for sure, and I'm sure there will be both a DVD and a live album from that, and then probably all your material, I guess. But we talked about many ideas for the future. So we talked about joining forces again, and, you know, like I mentioned, to follow up on the Heavy Rock Radio album for more cover stuff. We talked about potential tour for that in the future, to go out and play some older classics and do it your own style. And there's so many possibilities with such a great band. You know, and you can, so it's, you know, anything is possible. It's like you go out and you have such a band, you just think that, oh, it's a shame only to play your own songs only, because you know how great some of these older songs you grew up with would sound with that band. The possibilities are endless with such a great lineup. So, yeah, but we will be out there for sure at some point, and I just, you know, hope we can make, you know, everything work, you know, so, to make it happen.
Me too, man.
Soon.
Me too.
Yeah. Definitely,
awesome,
there will be more stuff recorded with this lineup. That's for sure. So the tour is really something we look forward to. But I think also it's a good thing now that we are waiting, being a little bit more selective with how we do. Time will tell. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to come to Texas so you and I can have a beer together.
Yeah, love that. Yeah, love to go to Texas. I mean, I've been a few, you know, to the States, you know, a few times, and it's. I'd love to go there. You know, everything from south to north. You know, it's so. There's so much over there, man, that to see and, you know, to enjoy. You know, it's. California is great, you know, but I think not just, I even love the northern parts of the U.S. because you have so many similarities to Scandinavia up there. People think that America is all about, you know, Florida and California, but it's much more than that. Yeah, definitely. You have a great country, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you. You do too. We had the pleasure of going there a few years ago, and we fell in love with your country.
Thanks, man. Yeah, well, it's nice, you know, clean air. you get some vast areas, you know, unpopulated.
Yeah, it's hard to beat your fjords. Those fjords are just absolutely amazing, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks, man. Well, it's nice. I mean, you get used to it when you're here all the time. So it's like when you have a lot of fjords and mountains, then you kind of you look towards open, vast areas.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like, you know, like now when you're on our way to Sweden, it's like, you know, it's very open there. It's vast, open areas, fields. Sunflowers, you know, a lot of like Denmark or to us that's exotic, because we're used to the mountains, and, you know, you can't really see the horizon, but now we can see it when we go to the south.
Last question, I know you have other people to talk to,
yeah.
But the curiosity of Genghis and mine was The Crow. The Crow has been a symbol on Yorn record covers for many years, and yeah, I really like what you've done over the last couple years with The Crow. This year he's on a motorcycle. Last year he was spinning records. Can you tell us, you know, the origin of you picking The Crow, and then who comes with the ideas with, you know, what you're going to do with them on an album cover? And lastly, does he have a nickname?
Well, I never named him anything, so he ended up being Crowman. That's it. Yeah. So Crowman, that's it. Basically, that's his name. It's kind of like a mascot there, you know. I just always thought that the crow was parallel to rock music, you know, there's nothing royal or fancy with the rock, really. You know, it's from the beginning it was the rebel or the outcast, or you know, so and I think many people always try the opposite, you know, using some kind of royal eagle or something to make the rock more majestic somehow. But I think, you know, the crow is just more working class, you know. It's where I come from. It's where most of the people I work with come from. We're working class people, and, you know. So.
Well, Jorn, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. But before we let you go, do you have a message for the fans out there?
Well, you know, what can I say? I mean, I appreciate everyone. Following up on me all these years, and I think, you know, this new record is is definitely for everyone out there that loves some proper craftsmanship, you know, because this record is not just about me singing or it's not just a solo album or something like it. You know, it's a proper band. It's a proper rock album, and you know, this is more than just a singer and his band. You know, this is without this band, you know, I would really not have anything. You know, without such great players. So I mean, if you've never checked out some of the older records I've done, you should definitely check out this record, because sometimes you know when you lay down some good work, you know, and this time I'm proud to say that this is the real deal right here, so, and I'm really happy with it. So, and I hope to see everyone out there at some point, you know, with this band, you know, to play live, and that everyone would, you know, turn up. That would be great.
Hey, Jorn, I'd like to have one more quick question, I promise.
Yeah.
out of your catalog, say, excluding Life on Death Row, do you have a favorite record you could pull out and say, that's definitive Jorn? If someone gets this and says, okay, I want to go back, what's the next record you would suggest somebody go back and check out?
To check out, I mean, if you look at all your own records only, then well, you know, it's some great songs on several of those albums, but I guess if you like the new record, I guess it would be good to check out The Duke from 2006, and would also be good to check out I think Lonely Are the Brave is a good record. And Traveler as well. Maybe those three records. I mean, it's hard to choose one, yeah. You know. Because I like them all in different ways. But I think the Duke, if you only go and check out one, I think to check out the Duke would be, or, you know, Traveler, I think it's a cool thing to do. Yeah. But then again, like I said, it's difficult. You know, one of my favorite Bjorn songs is Lonely Are the Brave, the title track. It's just because it's, you know, in its simplicity, it's a rock song. It doesn't have a guitar solo. It's just rocks all the way through, and it's that's what I like about that song. You know, it's a proper rock song.
It's a great song, sir. I would have to say probably my favorite song of yours that I can't get enough of is Something Real from the old stuff.
That's, of course, I mean, that's, yeah. You actually have a resemblance on the new record, which is in the same vein as that song. I mean, the song called I Walked Away. Landscape, I would say, musical landscape, you know, to something real.
Yeah. So, oh, man, I gotta check that out.
Yeah, it's a similar groove, a similar, the riff, like the opening riff for something real, which comes again a couple of times there in the song. It's very similar to, the new song is very similar. It's different, but, you can recognize the type of songwriting, which is cool in a way.
Well, Jorn, we want to thank you for coming on the Vegas Ragman Show here on the Right to Rock, and we want to tell all the fans to get Jorn's new record, Life on Death Road, out on Frontiers. Jorn, congratulations on an awesome, awesome new record. Jorn classic, man. I'm not kissing your ass because I'm talking to you. Totally serious.
No,
rocks.
No, I really appreciate it, Alan. It's really, I genuinely appreciate it. Thanks for, having me on, and I guess we can do it again at some point, hopefully.
Yeah, it seems like we're doing this yearly now, man, and I'm loving it every time.
Yeah, like you said, we should, at some point maybe we, could drink a beer.
That would be freaking awesome, dude. That would be awesome. Yeah. So if I come to Europe or you come to the U.S., we'll have to find each other, brother.
Yeah. All right, mate. Take care.
You too. Right, bro. Thanks again. Drive safe, man.
Thanks. Yeah, I will. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, man.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
This has been Giga.
Vegas
and Ragman,
and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is the theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X. Adam and Joseph have lent us 13 to finish the show, so what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out and keep checking us out. And horns up.